Okay, so let's get to the next point. Chances are, doctor, you're not in every network, hopefully. So chances are you're already seeing some patients in your practice that you're not in network with. And I'll be in a room. Let's use MetLife as an example. I don't want to get in trouble with MetLife, but it's just an example of a very well-known insurance company. If I'm doing a talk in front of a room, I'll ask all the people there in the office that are MetLife providers or in the audience. And often it'll be about half the doctors are MetLife providers. And I say, what kind of discounts are you experiencing? Oh, it's 30%. How's okay. Then I'll say, let's see the hands of all the people that are not MetLife providers. And another half will raise their hands. And I'll go, do you have MetLife patients? And I go, yeah, sure. Why? What? And I go, all right. How's the payment? And they go, surprisingly good. For most MetLife plans, the out-of-network benefits are surprisingly good. The doctors on the other side of the room are going, well, say what? We thought if you left MetLife, you wouldn't have any MetLife patients. The doctors that are not with MetLife are going, sure, we have MetLife patients. What are you talking about? And so I get to see both sides of the curtain in my travels. I'll go see a office that is 3 miles away from another office that's not with a certain PPO, and I'll see that they're doing fine. They don't have as many patients in MetLife or whatever on this, but they still have patients in it. So, doctor, look at your own practice. You are already seeing some people out of network. Therefore, it's possible for you to see patients out of network. They don't all go away, and you need to know that. And that gets to my this point, that no insurance company, even Delta, has 100% of providers in a given area, though they get close. So I had this other study I did with Alan Schiff on the East Coast, and he looked at a bunch of dental practices on the East Coast, and we asked him, do they participate with like Blue Cross, MetLife, the five most common plans in the coastal area he was polling the dentists on. And what we found is most of the plans had about half or slightly less than half the patients, some slightly more. But no plan, no one PPO had all the dentists. And then when we further looked at the data, about 21% of the dentists weren't with any of those plans, those five, and about 25% were with all of them, with most people being in between. And what I established with this was, therefore, because there's practices that are out of network with and surviving, therefore, right, or thriving, that therefore it's possible to be out of network with some plans and still do well, because no network has 100% of the plans. So if you look at things logically, therefore you can exist without being in every single network. So if you're 5 for 5, but you know a quarter of the people around you are 1 for 5, maybe you should go the other way. So that's another way of looking at it.
I think, when I get into a practice, I think there's an understanding, even today, as far down this road as we've come, is that the patient calls or the patient says, hey, I just changed jobs. Do you take my insurance? And I think how your staff reacts and replies has more to do with keeping the patient than the technical aspects of whether you're in network with, say, a MetLife or
That's
whether
right
you
on,
take a MetLife
Steve.
Patient and you help them. Yeah.
Yeah, and here's
they
an
think
experience.
You don't take
here's,
their insurance.
Well, here's something that really proves that out. Let's use, again, MetLife example. If a practice never was with MetLife, so the front desk person didn't know any differently, they welcome MetLife patients in, they don't freak out about it, they're not defensive. But if you go to a practice that's been with MetLife and take it off, I have to do all kinds of therapy and training with the front desk because they're defensive about it. We're not with MetLife, you know, we're not in the network. And so sometimes I wish I could go in there and just erase all memory of, you know, just kind of have them not have the memory they're with MetLife, because then they're not defensive about it, because how that phone is handled makes a huge difference. If you've heard hundreds, especially in this issue, do you take MetLife? Well, no, or we're out of network providers, so you know you might want to go elsewhere. I dealt with that just this week. And if they say we're out of network providers for MetLife and we have lots of patients on, it works out great, come on in and we'll do a benefit check. You know, you're going to like it here. Mm-hmm. So the emphasis, I use the analogy of a restaurant, Steve, like if you call Kincaid's or something and say I'd like to make a reservation, they don't ask you first thing, oh, Steve, what kind of credit card you got? Because we don't take Diners Club. You know, they just welcome you. And they figure if it's really important that you take, they take Diners Club, they'd call, you know, check on the Diners Club website or ask you first thing.
Well, the other element to this is, away from new patients, is your existing patients. They already
right.
know who you are. They know what
yeah.
they're getting. They like you. You know, if you've done a really good job, they will find a way to stay there. They just have to, insurance just has to be filed a little differently than it does when you're in network. But they still get to come to you. They still get to, you know, they still get to be a patient. It's just that the filing is a little different than out of network than in network. It doesn't mean they can't come to you anymore. And I do really think that is a misconception that probably carries over from health insurance that, you know, you're not in the book, so you can't go and we're not going to, you know, we're not paying for out of network, period. So I think that's always a challenge in dentistry is how you handle it. And I think you've done a really good job of just explaining that, you know, how you answer the phone makes all the difference.
Yeah, I don't know anyone else that's helped more practices deal with these gnarly transitions, but you just brought up an excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
There's more patient loyalty than you think, and people don't just head for the doors when you drop a PPO if you handle it right. I've got longitudinal data on this. For example, you know, some of those people of the Delta 71, that was in 2001, Steve, and I still mm-hmm. get data from some of those practices. And this is now, 15, 16 years later. And what happens is that's a very drastic thermal client. I mean, that's a drastic thing. If you go out of network with Delta and the checks are going to the patients, that's one of the toughest things to be out of network with. But even in that circumstance, if a doctor used to have 60% of his patient base with Delta, all these years later is still 30%. So they lost, mm-hmm. over all that time, about half their Delta patients. But if you look at this, let's say, you know, you can't predict who it is. I mean, if this is one of these things that just drives doctors nuts. Let's say there's a family, you came down on Christmas Eve, a kid fell off a trike or something or a sled, you fix their tooth, you go out of network, they're out of there, you know? And there's someone else you hardly know, and they stay. You cannot predict which patients will stay.
Right.
But if you handle it right, more will stay. Now, that's a drastic long-term thing. Typically, when someone leaves a more typical type PPO like Aetna, those kinds of things like that, what happens is you end up keeping more than half, probably more than two-thirds of patients, because there's two things we do when we take someone through these transitions. One, you want to minimize any lost patients, and two, whatever loss you have, you want to slow down. And so between those two things, you can heal up. So I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but the patient, you brought this up, and I think it's a good point. Once you know these mm-hmm. patients and stuff, we know that an insurance company is an important factor in the selection of patients, but it's not the only factor, and it's not the only factor in the retention of patients either. And there's more patient loyalty than you think, doctor. And I just think they feel like, oh, gosh, everyone's going to leave me. Well, some will. Some will, just like if you
right.
price average, some will leave you because you're not lower than average. I mean, so you do get it, but it's their loyalty works. And, for example, if you look at offices with big signage and advertising, they get more new patients. And that's an independent variable from insurance stuff. So I often said, and this is a conversation I had with Woody many years ago, if you have a sign up, you may not have to sign up. And so insurance is only one of many factors in what determines if a patient's going to stay with you.
Yeah, and I think you just hit the nail on the head. It depends on, and I think it is. It's how you position your practice. And if they like you and they like your staff and they like your office and they like your location, they like all those things, insurance is really a small part of what they do. And it's up to you as a practice owner to decide if you identify yourself by the insurance you take or you identify yourself by all those other things. But you're right. So,
you say that, Steve, and I say that. Well, I mean,
uh-huh.
we say that, right?
Oh.
But I know what doctor is thinking out. I know what you doctors are thinking. Well, I don't want to lose patients, you know?
Right.
I'm a great doctor, but I don't want to lose patients. I don't want to lose patients. And I'm trying to kill that voice and say it's not as, again, you have more power. So let's get to the next point, that point number mm-hmm. five you're going to lead me to, and that is,